hear the good news. The gospel according to Matthew, actually giving Joseph's side of the story, so to speak, the story of the birth of Christ from Joseph's point of view. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She gave birth to a son. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The name Jesus, as the angels foretold. A person's name is very important. It represents our individuality, our personal identity, more than just an ID badge or a name tag, a point of identification at the DMV. Names mean a lot. That's why I take a lot of time and effort to learn as many people's names as possible. I know I'm setting myself up for a problem as you're all leaving. Now, what's my name? Now, please be gracious. I'm still working on it, especially sorting out all the kids. You know, Kylie, Kira, Colin, Kristen, Caitlin, Corey, Christine, Khalil. That's just the C's and K's. Milana, Melinda, Marissa, Michael, Melissa, Morgan. Anyhow, Siobhan, Fiona. Well, I can't go through everybody. Names are important. In fact, when I was coming here for the first time, as I was coming to be pastor here, I spent hours memorizing all the names in the pictorial directory so I'd have a head start. And in fact, before my first Sunday here, I was over at Sure Good Pancake House having breakfast, and I saw some folks that I had seen in the directory, and I went up to them and kind of scared them to death. I said, "I think I'm your new pastor." I haven't seen them since. They were... No, just kidding. Just kidding. They're still here. But biblical names are so significant. Mary, for example, named after Moses' sister, Miriam, I believe. Joseph, in our story, named after one of the four patriarchs in Genesis, the son of Israel, or Jacob, Joseph. Tonight I want to think about the name Jesus. Jesus is the heart of Christmas, the reason for our season. To know his name is to know his person and his purpose in coming to be born for us. I've been reading a little book called The Heart of Christmas on this holy night, and it has sermons by some of our evangelical preachers of the day. I'd like to read a page from this, from David Jeremiah's sermon, "Thou Shalt Call His Name Jesus." David Jeremiah says, "The Hebrews place far more meaning on the names they gave their children than we do today. So when it was time for God to clothe his son in humanity, how he would name him became very important. What name would he give his son, who was to be born of a virgin into the home of Joseph and Mary? What would God call him? It's interesting that God did not leave the naming of his son up to the earthly parents. Instead, he sent an angel to make sure Joseph got it right. In the passage that I just read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel speaking to Joseph, comforting his fear because Joseph did not understand what was going on with Mary at all. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. By special instruction expressing God's perfect will, it came to pass in Bethlehem. While the stars were shining and the angels were singing and the wise men were somewhere journeying, someone said, "Who is that in the manger?" Mary and Joseph responded, "His name is Jesus." Did you know that in the Gospels, God's Son is called by this particular name over 500 times? In fact, the word Jesus appears throughout the New Testament 909 times. You get the impression it's a favorite and most endearing term for our Lord. Of all the names, of all the titles that are given to Christ, the most beloved by his followers is that simple name, Jesus. Our favorite hymns sing all about that. John Newton, the composer of Amazing Grace and songwriter, also wrote a song, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." We sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." We sing, "Take the name of Jesus with you. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Joy of heaven, hope of earth. His name is wonderful. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." There's something about that name. The name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. King of glory now. There's a reason why we sing and celebrate this glorious name, Jesus. It's all about his purpose and his person. The name of Jesus. Jesus, back in the day, meant Savior. Jesus was a common name in AD 01. Many a mother and father hoping that their son would grow up to be the one, the Christ, the Messiah, named their boy child Jesus, or Yeshua, as the Hebrew version of that. Or we would recognize that as Joshua. Yeshua means Yahweh saves. Hoshea was the word for salvation. And Yahweh, God, God saves. So Joshua, the deliverer, the Savior, just like Joshua in the Old Testament, the successor to Moses, picking up, leading God's people from the wilderness wanderings across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Finally, after 40 years, he led the people of God through the conquest of Cana, conquering cities like Jericho and Ai. Now, Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus in the New Testament provides deliverance from the wilderness of our sin and gives us hope for another place, another time, the true promised land, entering into the rest of God, an eternal promised land. Jesus, for us, means salvation. For God loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you personally, individually, so much so that he sent Jesus for you. Yes, Jesus came to be the Savior of the world, but he was thinking of each of us personally. as He sent Him. For God demonstrates His love toward us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God proved, demonstrated His profound, unconditional, everlasting love. He loves you. That's good news tonight. The reason that's good news is because there's a problem. Our sin problem. We need a Savior. All of us. Every one of us. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All of us. All denominations, Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, Catholics, all people, lay people in the pews, clergy in the pulpit, saints and sinners alike, all of us have disobeyed God and fallen short of His glory and have a problem because of our sin. Sin can be defined as things that we have done wrong, by disobedience from God's perfect will. Things that we have done wrong, but it's also things that we have thought wrong. Things that we have thought wrong is also sin, hateful, hurtful, lustful thoughts. But it's also things that we have said wrong. Lies, gossip, slander. Plus, sin is the right things that we have left undone, how we have not loved as God commanded, not helped, not been kind, not been generous as God commands. It's a problem. None of us can deny that we need the Savior. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages are that which is due us for our work. The problem is that all of our works deserve us death, eternal death, spiritual death. We're all under a death sentence because of God's righteous judgment. Because God is absolutely holy and cannot look on sin. There is a separation between us and God, but the good news is that God did not leave us lost and in such a mess. He left us Jesus. He brought us, He gave us a Savior by Jesus' life of perfect obedience, by His death on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin, and in resurrection, He became the substitute sacrifice for our sins. That's good news tonight. That's the heart of the message of the gospel. Jesus, His name, He became sin that we might become righteous in His sight. His mercy and forgiveness, reconciling us to God, is offered through us. For all we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Nothing that we can do or say to make up for our sin problem. Nothing that we can add to what He has done. But He has done it. Jesus has made the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What must I do to be saved? One said in the Bible, in the book of Acts, in Philippi, the question was asked, what must I do to be saved? We need to repent. Turn away from our sin. Turn toward God. Return to Him. Believe and receive by faith this gift of eternal life, the gift of God's only Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It's a simple message. For as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. It's as simple as a child on Christmas morning receiving a Christmas present. God holds out to you this evening the gift of His love wrapped in His Son Jesus. He wants you by faith to take not just the name of Jesus with you, but receive this hope, receive this joy, receive this peace wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped and placed in a manger. It doesn't come automatically just because you've been born in a Christian family, because you grew up in a Christian church. You have to decide for yourself. There is a point in your life. This could be that point. If you haven't already received Christ into your heart by faith, salvation is a free gift of God's grace, but you have to accept Him and receive it in a prayer of faith, praying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin and come and take rule and reign in my life. Become my leader and my Savior. Make Him the center of your celebration this Christmas. Open your heart and trust Him. He can save you, and He alone. That's what Christmas means. Christ was born to save you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your abundant provision for our greatest need. I pray that even tonight, You would be awakening faith in the hearts of folks here. As the message of Your Word comes clearly from the lips of the prophets and the evangels. Lord, I pray that it might capture our hearts with the truth that can set us free. Lord, I pray that we might be transformed from the inside out, born again with this wonderful story, with this wonderful gift. We thank You, O Lord, that You have come, that You are here with us, Emmanuel. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into our hearts. We freely receive You. Thank You for this gift of amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.